Amen. I'm going to invite Janet up to speak for us now. I'll just pray for you, Janet, and then we'll hear from God's word. Father, thank you so much for Janet. Just thank you for the way you have been speaking to her, shaping her, guiding her by your spirit through her preparation for this morning. I just pray, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear what you have to say. Hearts that are ready and open to meet you, to be shaped by you, to be changed by you. Amen.
Thanks a lot, Ben. And Ruth, thank you so much. Ruth's from Sri Lanka, and it was just wonderful to hear that reading there. If you've got a Bible, turn it on, find it. James chapter 5, 7 to 20. James chapter 5, verses 7 to 20. So how are you doing? How are you? I'm fine. Are you really? How often do we just say, I'm fine, but actually, what else is going on? We're in the middle of a series looking at what does it mean to be a community of disciples. This is part of a series. We're looking at the church of tomorrow, and you sort of see all these Christians being built together into the church of tomorrow. What does that actually mean in practice? It can mean asking questions. So people say to me, Janet, how are you? How's your day been? How are you getting on with your talk? Or how's your brother doing? Those are the questions I've been asked recently. But nobody has said to me, Janet, how's your Christian life going? How's your walk with God? And if you asked me, what would I say? I'm sort of plodding along, I think I'd probably say, in all complete honesty there. I worked out, it was actually 50 years, obviously I was very young, since I became a Christian, if you like. I'd been brought up in a Christian home, and I went to a house party for young people. And I went there, and on the first night, somebody talked about Jesus dying on the cross for me, and I suddenly understood. And I must have heard the gospel before, but it was the first time that I'd realized Jesus died for me. And so I made that decision 50 years ago to follow Jesus, to follow him. We call it a walk with Jesus. It's like a journey. It's like a pilgrimage. It's like a long lifetime of following Jesus. I came across this quote from Eugene Peterson, which says, Christian discipleship is a long obedience in the same direction. Discipleship is a long obedience in the same direction. So I've been reflecting on, well, what's helped me these last 50 odd years on that long obedience, that following Jesus? And I could point to things like coming to church. I could point to things like Bible study groups, being in a student group, being in a small group. I could talk about learning about prayer from my parents. I could talk about listening to the Holy Spirit. I could talk about so many different things that have helped me personally in that long walk of following Jesus Christ. It's always good to chat to someone who's been on that journey longer than you. Doesn't have to be someone older than you, but it might be someone more experienced than you, and say to them, how have you managed to keep walking that Christian walk for so long? How have you managed to persevere? How have you managed to keep on going? In the book of James, he talks about listening to the prophets, and he says, if you want to know what it's like to persevere, then, brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. And then he goes on to talk about one in particular called Job, and he talks about follow their example. How did they persevere? St. Paul in 1 Corinthians says, and I find this a really bold statement, therefore I urge you, St. Paul says, to imitate me. So the first thing to think about is, who are those people who have been Christians longer? Who are those people who have walked that long walk, whom you could go to and say, oh, I'm finding this difficult. How do you manage to persevere? How do you manage to keep on going? who say to me, Janet, how have you coped with life? How have you coped with having a miscarriage? How have you coped with having a brother with cancer? How have you coped with your parents dying? Tell me, how have you coped with a family estrangement? Find somebody and say to them, how have you coped? How have you managed to persevere? So, within this community of disciples, we're going to think about three things this morning. How can we pick each other up when we get it wrong? How can we stand together in pain and in joy? And how can we challenge one another? All this is from James chapter 5. How can we pick each other up when we get things wrong? If you go to the beginning of the passage, I'll just read it again in English this time. Be patient, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Where do we ask those questions of one another? How are you getting on? How are you growing in patience? Patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and I can tell you it's a very slow growing fruit. I get impatient still. I don't know if anybody else has used Falkendale Road or not used Falkendale Road in the last few weeks, but you'll know what I mean about the need for patience. We're called to be patient. But if I knew somebody else was on the case and was able to say to me, Janet, how are you doing? Are you still patient or impatient? Are you able to wait patiently for the lights to turn or the traffic to ease? We can hold each other to account and just say, well, how are you doing on these fruit of the Spirit, on patience? Talks about not grumbling against one another. And again, if somebody just says, actually, I'm a bit tired of hearing you always grumble about something, it's like a reminder to me, a shock. Oh, yes, I am rather moaning today. I'm just going to give it a stop. When we're in small communities or small groups, we have that chance to pick each other up on those aspects of our life. I don't know if you've ever shared a flat with flatmates. That's a good learning experience. Or been in a family where you learn to get on with other people, or you can like rub each other's corners off, if you like, where you have to learn patience. When we're with others, that's where we learn. That's where we can grow together. That's where we can learn some of these messages to pick each other up when we get it wrong. What does it mean to stand together in joy and in pain? To stand together in joy and in pain. Let's read the next few verses from 13. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Later on, we'll have a chance to pray for each other. And can I just say to you now, if you feel I'm in trouble, I'm in pain, go over there to the right-hand side and say, pray for me. Is anyone, let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you ill? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Pain and joy. That's what life is. Standing together in pain and joy. This week on Monday, I have two brothers and I got two WhatsApp messages in the same minute. The first message was from middle brother, who is currently on safari, or was at the time, in Africa. I got pictures of elephants, more elephants, hippo, yet more elephants. He's having a wonderful time. And then, ping, in comes the next WhatsApp message from little brother, who's got cancer and his hand was hurting because he's been over-exercising it, and so it was swollen. Pain and joy. And that's what life is like. Who stands with us? We stand with each other in pain and joy. And that's where small groups are so brilliant. I know of a small group here, and somebody has just come out of hospital, and they're making meals for that person and delivering hot meals. I know another small group where they have urgent WhatsApp group prayer requests straight out to everybody in the group, and they pray for one another. When we're in a small community, we can support each other in prayer. We can weep with those who weep, but we can also rejoice when there's good news. We can stand with them. I like the lady in Luke 15 who says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." Sometimes we just need to rejoice together and celebrate with each other. Sometimes we just need to stand with each other when we're in trouble, when we are in pain. It talks about praying for one another. I don't know about you, but I find it hard to pray on my own. I get distracted. I think of something else. I remember the ironing that needs doing. But when I pray in a group with others, it encourages me. When I'm with other people, they pray, and then somebody else prays, and then I think of something, oh, I can pray about that. And then somebody says something else, and you think, oh, I can pray too. It keeps me going, honestly, praying together in groups, praying with one another. The prayer offered in faith, James says, will make the sick person well. The Lord will lift them up. So we're encouraged to stand with each other in pain, in those difficult times, but also in joy, in the times when things are going really, really well. So to challenge one another, we've thought about picking each other up. We've thought about standing with people in joy and pain, to challenge one another. This is a challenging verse, 16. Have a look at it. Therefore, confess your sins to each other, pray for each other so you may be healed. Verse 19, my brothers and sisters, if any of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their ways will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. It says, confess your sins and pray for each other. I am much less likely to get really impatient with those traffic lights if I know somebody has prayed with me for patience. Who can we pray with about the times we mess up and things go wrong? I know of some small groups where they actually split into just twos and threes, or where they split up on gender lines and say, honestly, how are things going? I messed this up. Please pray for me. There is comfort. There is support. There is prayer in the small groups. Talks about, James does, about wandering away from the truth and bringing that person back. People can just drift away from Jesus and you hardly notice it. And then you think, oh, I haven't seen them for ages. Within our groups, who are the people who have stopped coming? Who are the people you haven't seen around at church for a while? Or are the people who are coming to church, they're coming to small groups, we've got our face on that says, oh, I'm fine, everything's all right. But actually, they're not. I'm really struggling with my faith, they might be thinking, but I can't tell anyone. We're called to challenge each other. How is your Christian life going? How is life really going? How is your Christian walk? I like that promise about if anyone turns a sinner from the error of their ways, will save them from death, cover over a multitude of sins. It's really hard to be a Christian in the world at the moment. And I think we need each other to challenge us, to just point things out and to say, well, just how are things going? So how are you really? If you read the Friday email, you notice I used this when I wrote some last Fridays. Somebody saying to somebody else, well, how are you doing? It's so easy to say, actually, I'm fine, I'm fine. but how are you really doing? How is your Christian life? How is that long walk with Jesus going? Who can we be really honest with? That picture is, I think, an old picture of what was called the Holy Club. Has anyone here heard of the Holy Club? It took place at Oxford University 300 years ago. And there, John Wesley met, somebody called Charles Wesley met, somebody called George Whitfield met, and a few others. They met together. And what they did was they quizzed each other. They had these questions they'd ask of each other. They also prayed together. They studied the Bible together. They fasted. But they also did good. They taught orphans to read. And they went and visited people in prison and took food to the hungry. And this group were nicknamed the Holy Club. And they came up with these questions which they would challenge one another with. And I'm going to read some of those questions. And if you're in a small group, you could think, oh, I could ask that question of somebody else. Or you could think, oh, I wonder how I'd answer if somebody picked on me and asked me that question. What would I say to others there? You may not be able to read it, but just Google Holy Club or Holy Club questions. So I'm going to read them out and just have a think. If Janet came up to you and asked you this question, how would you reply? Am I consciously or unconsciously creating the impression I'm better than I really am? Ooh. In other words, am I a hypocrite? Am I honest in all my acts and words, or do I exaggerate? Can I be trusted? Am I a slave to dress, friends, works, or habit? Does the Bible live in me today? Am I enjoying prayer? And this is where it gets really tricky. Do I pray about the money I spend? Do I disobey God in anything? Do I do anything that makes my conscience uneasy? How do I spend my spare time? And so it goes on. Oh, the last but one. Do I grumble or complain constantly? Is Christ real to me? There are all these different questions that we can ask each other. You can have a think, would it be appropriate to ask that or not? How could I do this? I was thinking about small groups and thinking, well, you could actually write all the questions on a separate bit of paper, put them in an envelope, and then just pick them out at random, pass them round the group. Why not? Try it and see. But there's something about challenging each other that I think can be really helpful. But how do we challenge people? We do it gently. If I said to you, do it like Anton, some of you will know what I mean. Strictly Come Dancing, this wonderful judge, Anton Dubek, he will say something encouraging, but he'll also criticize. But he does it in such a gentle way, the dancers listen and they respond. So there's a way of challenging that's good, of being polite, of being kind, of being gentle, pointing out the good, but then also suggesting maybe you could think about this, maybe you could improve in this area. So how can we challenge one another? How can we work within our small groups or our teams to help each other in our Christian life? There's something else called the examine you might have come across, somebody called St. Ignatius of Loyola. And again, his questions are for you to ponder on. What are the blessings in my life? Where did I meet God or see God at work today? What happened in my day? Etc., etc. Are we aware of God? So sometimes we'll say, how have you encountered Jesus today? Have you got any answers to prayer? As a church, we're always looking for people to share stories, stories where prayers have been answered. So as I come in to finish, let's just think about what does it mean to be a community of disciples? How has God spoken to me or guided me? If we're not in a community, I'd like to encourage us to join a small community. Basically, see Chris Brown or see Paul or I, if that's something you would be interested in. But if we're already in a small community, how can we deepen those relationships with one another? Or if we're not in a community, you might be in a team or might have a prayer triplet or friends you meet every now and again. How can we help pick each other up, particularly when we get things wrong again? How can we stand together with others in pain and joy, in those difficult areas of life or those wonderful areas of life? How can you stand with each other? And how can we challenge one another? How can we challenge one another? We want to be a community of disciples being built together into church. So as I finish now, I think Ben's going to come up in a moment. Let's just reflect on what is God saying to me? What is God saying to me? What are those things that I need to think about, that I feel challenged over? Where are those areas of pain or joy where I just want somebody else to stand with me? So in a moment, we're going to continue in worship and so on there. But I hope I've given you lots of really practical ideas. Go back and look at James 5 again. It's all in James chapter 5. Do you need somebody to stand with you in pain and joy? Ben.